Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk Midweek Show Version Episode Podcast for people who play with needles.
Yes. You know, in our old podcast, we used to number them.
Yes.
And we don't do that anymore.
No, I know. Because we were having guests on Sunday, and so we were tagging it with those. So
yeah,
kind of got down that path, and now it's too late. There's mm-hmm. too many of them.
Too lazy to count.
Well, there's too many of them because there's this is number 30. This is our 30th midweek show, and I think we have 45
okay
Sunday shows. So yeah, we've been cranking them out like a little machine here. Yep.
All right.
Okay, so this week we have two packages of Hands Across the Seas samplers greeting cards to give away. So if you don't have one handy, get a piece of paper and a pencil, because you're going to have three pieces of information that we'll tell you about during the show and then tell you what you have to do with that at the end. But to get in the drawing for a package of these cards. And these cards are very nice. These are nice.
They are. They're gigantic, too.
Yes. Heavy paper, sampler pictures on them, little mm-hmm. stitching chart on the back. Blank inside so you can write. Very, very nice. And, you know, if you don't win them, go buy some from Nicola at Hands Across the Sea, because they really are very nice. And you can mix and match the different charts and things, so you can pretty much tell her what you want. And if she has them in stock, when she gets them in stock, they go like hotcakes. But, get in on it if you don't win. So, yes, we'll tell you in a while what you have to write down. But I'm dying to know. You found a needlework shop.
I did.
So I want to hear about this needlework shop.
So I went to visit family up in Binghamton, New York this Thanksgiving. And I figured, you know, whenever I'm traveling, I always look to see if there might be a needlework shop local that I can just pop in and see, you know. And so far, I really haven't had a lot of luck, you know, even traveling through New Jersey, like what's going to be near, you know, the highway, but there's never anything. Right. So just on a lark, I figured, let me check around here, even though it's a little sparsely populated. I had very low expectations, quite frankly. And I found a website for a place called Stitchery Row in Endicott, New York. And it turns out it's literally a block away from where my brother works. So that was kind of funny.
Oh, my.
So I figured I emailed them ahead of time and just asked if they were going to be open over the weekend, because I knew, you know, holiday hours are sometimes funny. And we've talked a lot about, you know, how the shops around me are open, you know, on Tuesdays from 4 to 5:30 and all these weird hours. So they said, yeah, we're definitely here. Come on by. So I went in on Friday, and it was I felt like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz when everything turned to color. So when I was in Manhattan, you know, I went into a couple of shops, and they were both painted canvas shops, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's so many people that do painted canvases, and now I kind of have a little bit more of an appreciation for them now that I have one of the angels, right? So I'm going to stitch that. So I've been doing a lot of reading about how do you choose stitches and, you know, what goes into all that, you know, instead of just basket weaving the whole thing. But that's pretty much all they had was painted canvases and the threads to support them, right? And that's not the kind of thing that I've been stitching. So I opened the door to this shop, and it was rack after rack after rack of charts. So that was the first thing that caught my eye, right?
Okay.
The first rack was all samplers, and, you know, that they were Hands Across the Sea samplers. There were other designer samplers, you know, noted pretty much the same way with the year. You could buy the charts. You could buy kits. There was lots of little small kits, which I thought was great. Because that's one of the things we talk about often, is that the cost of entry for some of these pieces is kind of steep, because if you're, you know, working in silks and you have to buy linen and everything, it can get pretty pricey. But for $10-$12, you could buy a tiny little kit that had, you know, just a little chart, a cross stitch chart, and a little piece of linen and just the threads you need. And they were everywhere, all over the place. So that was cool. So now, all right, we've got charted work. We've got kits. Then I was walking around, looking. They had all over the walls were, and it kind of reminded me of the attic in this way, were stitched pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know to everybody that's out there that's been to good needle workshops, they're like, well, of course there were, Christine. Yeah, that's what they do.
That's what they do, yeah.
But I haven't been to one that was like this. So I just walked around and every other one was, oh, that's beautiful, you know, and they were so beautifully stitched. You know, these were not amateur pieces. These were professional perfection. And just, you know, I saw a piece and I started talking to the owners and, you know, mentioned that we were doing this and I saw a piece from way across the room and I said, that's a Debbie Rowley piece, isn't it? And she said, yes, it is. And you could just tell by the color and the radiance from the piece, how it bounced light. So we just had a great conversation and I had, I needed linen cause I'm going to be stitching, one of the sister samplers for Hands Across the Sea. And I've been just having a tough time finding the linen that I wanted. So I was even willing to compromise and get not the right color. So I said, you know, do you have 40 count linen? She's like, oh, of course we do. And just, and it was just the nicest thing. So this big table and she just grabs out a big, you know, container and starts laying out fabric. She's like, what are you looking for? What color exactly? Okay, well, this is what we have. You know, we have some other things if you'd like those as well. And it was just like two people who love to stitch talking, you know, about, oh, this is a gorgeous piece of fabric. Oh, I know I've stitched that one. It's really nice. So I was able to, they didn't have the right size. So they said, well, we'll order it for you and we'll give you a call when it arrives and then we'll ship it to you. So, I was able to find everything I needed. I just for fun, I was like, I'm going to look for all the things I can't find or that I have a hard time finding. And I did not have a hard time finding anything. Like it was just well laid out. Threads were organized in a way that was meaningful, you know, so things that were in drawers, but you could see what was there. And you didn't have to rifle through them with your fingers to be able to get the ones that you need. You know, things like that. All the watercolors, the Karen watercolors were all up on a wall. And that's just a gorgeous display. So it was just such a great experience. And they do a winter retreat every year, which is coming up in January, I believe. Let me look up the website, too, because it's worth mentioning. It is stitcheryrow.com. That's as easy as it is in Endicott, New York. So they do a retreat. And so I was talking to the owner and one of the employees who'd been there for quite a while. And, you know, they both said exactly the same thing that everyone that's gone on a stitching retreat has said, which is you will have the best time ever because it's just a whole bunch of people and they don't have a particular piece. Everybody brings whatever they want. They go to a hotel someplace a little bit further away. And it's just a group of people that have been doing it for years. And they spend 3 or 4 days, you know, at the hotel, just hanging out, stitching, which kind of sounds like the best thing ever to me.
Yep. Yep.
So of course I couldn't resist, doing what I think I'm falling into your trap, which is the
my trap. Buying,
yes.
My trap. Okay.
Yes, the buying charts trap. So
my trap.
Yes. So because I've kidded you that, you know, I've bought a bunch of things, but I have them all. Like I'm actually working on all of them. You know, mm-hmm. most of them. But I saw a sampler that had been stitched that was on the wall that was so beautiful and so different. It wasn't like a typical young girl's sampler. It was from a company called Victoria Samplers and it was a Christmas one and it was more of a long sampler. So it had a tree at the top. It had some, verbiage in the middle, a bunch of different types of stitchery. And then at the bottom, it was a whole section of hard ungar worked into the sampler. So it was just a beautiful piece. B, a great way to, you know, spur me to maybe learn that so that I can do it. So I couldn't resist that chart. It was too.
So that goes in the bag. Yep.
That goes in the bag. So I'm going to have to kit that one up and stitch that for next Christmas because it was so delicate and airy. Do you know what I mean? When you see a piece that's stitched like that, and they charted in two different colorways so you can pick which one you want. It was great. So I spent probably an hour just kind of perusing, and it had that good shop vibe, which is just, you know, if you need anything, let us know. Otherwise, you know, just have fun and people stitching, and it was great. And now I'm very sad that I don't live there.
So you going to the retreat?
I don't know if I can.
Oh.
Just because of, you know, work and other obligations. I would love to. It sounds like, you know, a great time. It really does. I mean, those are the kind of things I would love to do. It's a perfect little vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I was just, I finally understood from an experience level what it is about needle workshops that make everybody so happy. And, you know, of course I understood because it makes sense even if you've never been to one. But I got to go and just feel that warm feeling, that welcome feeling of being, you know, with people who, you know, are, I think everyone that we've met really has just been genuinely kind, and they're excited that you're excited about the thing that they love and want to share it with you. And finding people that, you know, can talk about the things that you talk about, and, you know, oh, I have a question about this. Do you know anything? Yes, I do. And it was really great. And then to find a place that I can get things when I can't find them.
Right.
Is also, so, you know, my fabrics have been ordered and we're ready to roll on that. So it was great. It was really nice. And now I wish I had something like that here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find something.
Nothing beats a good store. Nothing beats a good store.
It was, yeah, and I can understand, you know, you always talk about Monica, and now I'm like, oh yeah, I totally get it now, because you're friends with these people immediately.
Right, right.
You know, because you know you'll be back.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, and you look forward to going there, and you kind of start making up reasons to go, just to go hang out.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good, yeah.
It was really nice. So if you have the opportunity and you're in the area or in the Binghamton area, go to Stitchery Row. It's very, very well worth quite a long journey, I would say, because it's really a standout shop.
So, yeah, well, all right. You win then. You win the holiday holiday stitching award.
Yes.
Yay. So, well, let's see. What did I do? Oh, we were in St. Louis, so I didn't get to go to any stitching stores. I was playing with grandkids, so.
Yeah. Well, that's fun, that's too.
Okay. Yeah, that was fun. Yep. All right. I got to promote Mary Corbett just because I want to. So if you are not a follower of Mary Corbett, you need to get on her list because she is doing her December giveaway. And she gives away some really nice stuff. And, of course, she has a tremendous following, so she gets lots of entries. But you need to get on her list and her, so you get an email whenever she posts something. And then get in on her giveaway. And then December 1, she's been playing around. Actually, I think she's gone over the top here. I think I can safely say she's gone over the top, making little Christmas trees.
Oh, there, and you just see little tiny bits of it, and
yeah, that's she's enough. Pretty cagey.
And now I'm like, okay, I want to see the rest of it.
So Friday, December 1, I'm pretty sure it's Friday, December 1, she's going to release an ebook with all these little Christmas trees, or all these little, yeah, they're Christmas trees or trees, pine tree type things, designs that she's been knocking out here in the last couple of weeks. She's really gone over the top with this. So you can tell she's having a ton of fun with it. But anyway, so she's going to have an ebook come out. I know I'll be getting it on the first, just because of just little tiny, little triangular trees and different stitches and different shapes and stuff, and just look like really fun things to stitch. And she was showing today those things mounted in hoops and then with a wreath around them.
Like
a pine bough wreath. And so, get on Mary's list so you can get in on the drawings and maybe win, because she really gets some nice stuff. And then, watch for that if you're at all interested in embroidery. And also, the trees look like the kind of thing that anyone could pick up and have success stitching and get some embroidery experience. So if you've never done surface embroidery, you could do it right away and have some success. And really, she's doing it all with DMC floss, so you're not going to have to invest a bunch in threads. And just get some linen. And Alba Maxima at Needle in a Haystack. That's the stuff that Mary uses. And so get some linen and just DMC floss, and you can use, she isn't using a lot of colors, so you can pretty much use whatever you have in your stash and just have some fun with it. It looks like some great stuff. So
it does. It does. And each one is a little different, and they look like fun stitches. They do.
And she said she's knocking them out in a couple of hours, but that's Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So that means
four
hours for me. So,
right.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it is neat how each one is so different.
Yep. Yep. All out of the little head of Mary Corbett. Mm-hmm. She's a creative one. Yep. So get on the deal there with Mary Corbett with one T, because neat stuff there. Okay, get your pen and paper out, because here comes the part you got to write down, and then at the end, because yes, we're going to make you listen to the whole podcast and then tell you how to win cards from Hands Across the Sea. So I finished the Connor stocking, and it is now in the hands of the Twisted One for finishing.
Okay.
Yes. So that came out really nice. I was really pleased with that. Came out really nice. All finished up. Got it in the mail to the Twisted One. And so then it was, all right, I've got three or four needlepoint things that are started. And I thought, yeah, but right now I can do whatever I want. I'm at a juncture where I can stitch whatever I want from, because I've got a bunch of charts and I've got things kitted up. So it was, all right, I'm going to sit down one night and I'm just going to go through and see what I have. See what I have kitted up. And I thought I had threads for three or four things, but had not purchased ground cloth or canvas. Well, it turns out I had also purchased the canvas and ground cloth for all of them. So I had two Debbie Rowleys that are sitting there, but I'm not going to do one of those. So I had thread, and this is what you write down, one that I'm going to do. So what I decided to do is I'm going to do three things at once. I've never done this before. I'm going to actually aggressively stitch three projects at once. Like, you know, tonight I'm doing this one. Yeah, I'm not going to pick at it at one. I'm going to try and get all three done. Tonight I'm going to do this one. The next night I'm going to do a little on this one. And I'm just going to keep plowing away at all three of these. And see how it goes. Because this will be in it. Because one is a sampler, a reproduction sampler. One is a combination. It's all ecru on a cream cloth. And a lot of hardanger and pulled thread and satin stitch and so on. And then the third one is pure needlepoint. So I've got three completely different stitching styles and techniques that I'm going to test myself a little bit, basically.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, all right. So you got to, what you have to do is you'll have to know all three of these. So the needlepoint one, I had the thread for a long time, and it's called Anasazi, if I'm saying that right, Anasazi Song, Anasazi, Anasazi Song. And it's a Carol Lake, Michael Boren design, counter design, that was in Needlepoint Now. It was in three issues in June 2013. And I saw, I was in a store and I just picked up a copy of Needlepoint Now and it was in there. And it was just one of those, I was on the road, I want to read a Needlepoint Now. So I picked one up I didn't have. And that was in there. Oh, that's, you know, I got to stitch that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, okay, great. I've got it right here. I just bought it. I've got it. I'm good. Oh, no, it's in three parts. So I went back to the store. Do you have these other two? No.
Yeah.
So what I did was, over the course of several trips and going to different stores around the country, I found all three parts. Only to learn when I got home and sometime later, I mentioned, you know, I was so proud of myself. I found all three issues that my friend Missy Taphorn says, oh, I have all those. You could have just,
it's of like, course.
Thanks a lot. So anyway, but I have them, you know, it became a treasure hunt for me. So it was kind of fun in its own little right. So that one I'm going to do. That's a vertical thing. It's a Southwest kind of Anasazi or ancient ones, agricultural people who lived in the Four Corners area of the desert. So pretty piece and some unique stitches. Of course, it's Carol Lake and Michael Boren, so they're going to challenge you a little bit. So that's one that I'm doing. And then this other one I got at, I got it at the attic. Oh, wait. Yes, it's right here on the sticker on the thing. I got it at the attic. It's called Elizabethan Treasures. It's by Linda Berry.
Oh, and immediately piques my interest.
I know. I knew that. And
yeah, I really like that era.
Yeah, apparently the attic is the only place you could get this. And it's all ecrus. It's ecru Belfast linen. And then soie cristal silk in just a slightly off-white. And then ecru pearl cotton 8 and 12. And it's all ecru on ecru. So it's all textures and pulled threads and hardanger. Or some, you know, something similar to that. So that I did not have the threads or the cloth for. I now have the ground cloth and the threads are ordered. But, I had ecru DMC pearl. That was easy. But the soie cristal, I had to order that. So we'll have that. So that's the other one, Elizabethan Treasures. So you need to write down Anasazi Song, Anasazi Song, and Elizabethan Treasures. And that's at the attic. They have one stitched up, and holy smokes, it's beautiful. So, Elizabethan Treasures. And then I've been sitting on, and I did not think I had bought, had everything, but I've been sitting on this sampler, this reproduction sampler I got, and it's Sarah Parr 1825.
Yeah, you've been talking about that.
Yeah, I mentioned
one.
That. Well, and the only reason I bought it is it's Sarah, the way we spell our daughter's name, S-A-R-A-H, and then Parr with two R's, and usually you find it two A's in older usages. So it's a North England sampler. So it turned out I had everything for that too. All the silk, everything. So that one I've already actually started stitching. I've got the top border done, and but now it's going to get set aside tonight. Tonight we start Anasazi Song. But three different things I'm going to stitch. So the other thing you write down, Sarah Parr 1825. So those three things, three completely different types of stitching on effectively different ground cloths and different approaches. And we'll see how it goes. Just we'll see.
I think it's good, though, because, you know, sometimes when you get tired of one thing, you can jump to another, you know? Like, I have probably three different things going on at one time. And every once in a while, I'll say, you know, I have this old – it's funny, when I first started stitching again – I bought this cross stitch piece that is really, I mean, it's on Aida cloth. It's very big. It's very sort of clunky looking now to me that I've been doing, you know, needle painting and things like that. But I liked the design of it. So every once in a while, and I haven't finished it, so I have to go back to it. And it's kind of fun because now I'm going back and I almost feel like it's childlike because, you know, when you stitch cross stitch on a larger gauge cloth, it ends up almost pixelated, right? You have everything very boxy.
Right.
But once you outline things, it starts not being that way. So it's a little cartoony, but it's kind of endearing to me now because it is that way. So it's nice to pick up something different when you've been, you know, focused on something that, you know, I've been stitching a B-wing for the last 3 days because I keep picking it up. So it's nice to pick up something else where you can see, wow, I actually stitched an entire figure, you know,
yeah.
Something where you cover some ground, you know, you make some, you do some real estate, just to sort of rest your eyes and, re-interest yourself in something that's a little bit more challenging.
Well, yeah, and that's going to be the interesting thing because this reproduction sampler is on 40 count linen, and it's Krynek Mori silk, one strand over two. So I'm with the magnifier, I'm stitching 40 count linen, and then tomorrow night, then I'm going to go do Anasazi Song, which is 18 count needlepoint. So it's going to seem like this
totally
giant,
different.
Like giant holes over giant threads.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an interesting thing. And for me, the challenge is maintaining the proper tension and everything in each of these different things. So I mean, I'm really taking this on as a challenge to really test what I can do and how well I can do it. And it's, but the thing that's different for me is I'm not going to start it and then, oh, something else came along. So I'm going to set this one aside and start this one because I'm interested in that. They're all three. I'm going to keep all three of them plugging along. I'm determined. And of course now Marga has already identified where they're all going.
Oh, that's nice.
So no pressure on that. Well, that we'll frame that and put it here and we'll frame that and put it there. And I hope my daughter will want the sampler that I want her to have if she wants it. So anyway, yeah, so it's going to be, it's just a test, going to be a test and a challenge here to see how I do. And, yeah.
I think you're going to do great.
We'll see. We'll see. And then we have to plug the Needle Artist by the Sea. Now I have a hidden agenda. That's not a hidden agenda. I have my own agenda for doing this. So Needle Artist by the Sea, it's in Los Angeles area. They are doing a year-long project, Laureen Salt's Autumn Kaleidoscope. And you can sign up for it by January 15. It's a year-long project, but you have to be a member of the Needle Arts by the Sea group. But, of course, they'll be happy to take your dues and make you a member. And Laureen is going to teach it. She's going to do two Skype teaching sessions, and the instructions for it are about $40. Got to sign up by the 15th. We'll put a link. But so, yeah, so you can do that. You can do that. But I'd never heard of Laureen Salt and never seen anything. And she is my new friend. I'm a fan because this Autumn Kaleidoscope, holy smokes, is that beautiful. All kinds of, it's string, a lot of string art type stitches. But wow. Yeah, that's going in the bag soon. It's a teaching piece for her. See, I don't think you can buy it, but usually you can't buy them. But what does she say in the description? It's a study in string art and spirograph type stitches.
Ooh.
Yeah, when the design is finished, it begins to take on the look of shards of colored glass, which one would see while looking through a kaleidoscope. The student will put star stitch Smyrna grid in place as pre-stitching. 50 stitches, Jessica's Amadeus, Spratt's Heads, Balloon, Waffles, Chili Hollow in this piece. Bargello, diaper patterns, laid fillings, Swarovski crystals and pearls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's something. It's really something. It's done. The one that sample she shows is done on black. And holy smokes, the colors just jump. It's
they do, and you wouldn't expect them to because they're kind of, you know, rusty sort of.
Yes.
It's an interesting, see, I love people that do things like this because I never would have put these colors together, but they are brilliant. It's all the autumn fall colors, you know, fall leaf colors, but then with pops of bright purple and bright turquoise metallics. So you weave all those things together and it really, it's a stunning piece.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. So there you have that. And now, you know, of course, the temptation is to join the Needle Artists by the Sea and buy the chart.
Yeah.
Just to have the chart, because it's a teaching piece. So I know typically those don't come to the market for some time, especially if they're teaching. I mean, they need to keep them exclusive. But, oh, I really like this one. It's beautiful.
It is.
So the Needle Artist by the Sea, you can do that thing. On there. We'll put a link on the page for this podcast so that people can sign up. But, wow, I had not seen Loreen Salt designs before. We may have to have her as a guest to learn about this.
I think that's an excellent idea.
To learn about this stuff. I think so, yes. So anyway, there's that. So that was fun. That was fun. What else did I have for you? I had all kinds of stuff here. Listener, I wanted to mention this. Listener Orietta Bonzato, somewhere in Italy. I've been talking about my Millennium Frame. And she said that she uses one that's made by the Omanic Company in Estonia.
Yes, I looked that up.
Yes, the Quantum Frame. That looks to be the same design. It's the same mounting technique as the Millennium Frame, but she says you can get it faster.
Right. That there's not a wait list.
Yeah, than the Millennium Frame. But I'm quite happy with my Millennium Frame. But I just wanted to mention it because I know you've been looking for some more infrastructure. And yes. This looked like, because it looks like it's the same big giant screw side pieces that extend the thing and tighten the cloth. And looked like it wasn't too bad. One size there I looked at, I converted the euros to dollars, was like $80.
Yeah.
And I paid 100 and change for mine. So not too bad. But she says you can get them faster. And she has a link on her site, and I'll put that link up. You can see it. She shows how to use it and how to mount the cloth and everything. But it's just an alternative, so I just wanted to bring it up so you would know about that.
And my question is, are these things adjustable? So if they're scrolls, then you can, obviously you roll top to bottom. But you really need to have them be the width of the piece, though, right?
No.
Or you can just buy, how much bigger than the piece do you want to go before it just becomes cumbersome?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing is see, width to me is not the issue. And this is what I've learned with my Millennium Frame. The width of the scroll bars is not the thing, because that's just a matter of where you sit in front of the frame.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the height. It's the side pieces. Now, I got longer side pieces, like mid-size. I forget how many inches, 12 or 14 side pieces.
Yeah, that's pretty large.
And I wish I had gotten shorter ones, the 6 or 8 inch. Because what I'm having to do with some things is I'm having to turn the frame upside down and stitch upside down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so because this sampler, the top border, I'm doing the top border, and I'm stitching that all upside down because I need to get it closer to me because I got too long of frames, and I'm at the top edge of the fabric, so I can't just scroll it down.
Right.
So now once I get into it a little bit more, I'll have the flexibility to keep it fairly close to me. But
yes. Yeah,
those side pieces to me are the most critical one of these frames because, they both use it. They're big screws on, and so that's how you extend the sides to tighten up the canvas. And that's the beauty of it is when you're done, you want to take the tension out of the fabric. You just shift those, just turn the screws and let it loosen back up. And then to stitch the next time, it's just goes right back. It's beautiful.
Design is, and it looks very, very well crafted as well.
Yes. So I love the design, but I should have gotten the shorter. And what I should do is I should put in an order for the shorter ones so that they'll come, 6 months from now or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I asked Orietta if the parts were interchangeable between Millennium and the Omanic Quantum Frame. And she said, no, they're not. They're not. I think she has both, but she said they're not. I couldn't just buy side pieces from this Quantum Frame.
Right, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, But anyway, just I know you've been looking for stands and other things and trying to decide what to get. And that, you know, that's just another option. There's a million options. You know, that's the thing. It's just a million options.
I think that's it's overwhelming. You know, it becomes overwhelming, too, because, all right, how much do you want to invest? And, you know, it's the old question of do you buy the thing you know you're going to have for a lifetime, or do you, you know, buy something inexpensive so you can figure out what you like about it or what you don't like about it? And turns out that you don't like to stitch on full size frames. You only like to stitch on lap frames. And, you know, you want to learn that on a piece that you didn't spend, you know, $200 on. So, you know, I sometimes get paralyzed by too many choices of things.
Well, and I think, but that's kind of the problem is you know that if you buy good stuff, you'll have it forever and it'll perform for you. Mm-hmm. But then what if I don't like it? And
right.
Yeah. So, okay. Can I do something cheap and see if I like that approach, that type of tool?
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, I'll go buy a good one. Well, yeah, right. I don't know. And so pretty soon you got this collection of stuff.
It's just, yeah, kind of, you know, yeah. Hopefully those things aren't too. So I started working on a lap frame. So this is exactly the go the cheap route just to see. It's a sitting on frame. So you have the piece that you sit on and then an arm and then a clamp that holds the piece that you're working on. And I just use it for an embroidery hoop that I was doing a counted cross stitch on. So what I found from that was I do like the a sit on frame. I don't know how I'm still struggling with how it would be as a lap frame, like sitting on my lap, because I think it would fall off. But as a sitting on, it was great. This particular one, the clamp was a little wonky. So, but again, cheap frame, there was no investment here. But the freedom it gave me to do cross stitch with one hand on top, one hand on bottom, and not have to hold the work was so worth it.
Right.
So just having a holder of the frame at all, you know, that's, it's just great. It's really great. So that I know that I need to do. And then it's just a matter of, you know, do I want a standing frame? Do I want a lap frame? That I haven't decided. And that's where I think going to like seminar would be great, because you could, you know, sort of look at between the shops and things that have all their wares with them, or just going up to other stitchers and saying, hey, do you mind if I just sit at your station for a minute and sort of get a feel for what the ergonomics of this are, so you can see if it, you know, makes right. you happy or not.
Yeah. No, that, and once you have a stand of some kind, lap or floor or whatever,
mm-hmm.
something to hold your piece and your hands are free, to me, that, yeah, I know that feeling. Oh, thank you. Now I can just stitch. But then, you know, there's a ton of people that do it in hand, either in a hoop or without any stretching device, and, you know, do it all day long and are content with that and have no desire to own a stand or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's everybody has their way, but, oh, having a stand, just...
I think, and for me, it depends on the type of work that I'm doing. So any of the like surface embroidery, I don't put in a stand, because that I do completely right-handed. It's right hand on top, right hand on bottom. So to hold the work is no big deal. Right. But cross stitch and needlepoint, that I'm finding is easier and faster, much, much faster doing it two-handed,
yes.
one on top, one beneath. But to do surface embroidery like that still feels odd to me, and I don't know that I would do it that way. I don't know. Maybe as I become more, I guess, better at it, it would be easier. But I like having the control of doing it with just one hand that way.
That's interesting. Yeah. Now, and I wonder, now that you have a lap stand and have your hands free, I wonder if when you're doing embroidery, eventually you'll want that held too. That's interesting that you're more comfortable doing it that way.
I don't know. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why, for me, and again, this is not, you know, your experience may vary for me with the surface work, you're not going on a grid. So on a grid, you know, you can just kind of poke at it until you find the right space and you're good. With this, I find that when I have the hoop in my hand, I'm rotating it, I'm holding it, I'm changing the angle of it in the light to see how the threads lay.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so, yep. So there's a lot of, when you're choosing where to put your needle, there's a lot of manipulation of the hoop to see, okay, well, if I turn it, then I'll be able to stitch this one stitch really close to that, you know, split stitch border. And then I'm going to turn it back the other way to go back down again. So for me, I move the work a lot while I'm doing surface embroidery. So I don't think having it clamped in a stand would be good for me right now, just because it's not flexible enough. I still need that learning aspect of, you know, being able to kind of look at it from different angles and things like that.
Well, so, but I can see that that's a having it in a stand gives you flexibility with two hands free, but this is, yes, is just a different kind of flexibility that allows you to see.
I can see
what's happening with the stitch at different times, mm-hmm, and different sides. Yeah, I can see that.
Right. And you can see, you know, okay, so how's the light hitting it when I stitch at this angle? Is that what I want? Or if you're stitching a stem, you know, you're going to draw the stem in, but I find, all right, so you have what the drawing is and you can follow the drawing exactly. But then there's times where you look at it and you say, no, if it's a graceful stem for a flower, it would really bend a tiny bit over here, but you're not going to be able to see that unless you sort of step back from the work a little bit and see that, oh, because of the way I stitched it, it's going to look better if I kind of, you know, bend it a little bit this way. Mm-hmm. So, and again, it may be that will change over time, but for now, I like being able to sort of see, you know, twist it in the light, twist it around, and sort of see how it works that way.
Yeah.
It could also just be my vision too, because I have to hold. No, honestly, because, you know, especially for really tiny, you know, I've been doing a lot of very, very tiny work. So I need to be able to move it to places where I can see.
Yeah.
So it's that flexibility makes a big difference.
Yep. I can see that. Okay. That's going to be interesting now. Because I'm going to try when I'm going to I have the linen. And so when Mary's trees come along here at the end of the week,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to stitch one. And so I'm going to give your way a try. I'm going to put it in a hoop, which I would anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm, I'm going to hand hold it and just stitch with one hand and see how I like that.
Yeah.
And see if
the
that
other
helps.
Nice thing is it's small.
Right.
So it's not, you know, when you're working on stretcher bars, it's big and bulky, so it's clumsy to do that sometimes, especially if it's a larger piece. But
right,
when you're sewing something small like that, like anything under 8 inches or so, it's so lightweight and nothing in your hand that it really, it's not, if you're going to stitch with one hand like this, then it's not like holding it as a big burden.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be an experiment I'm going to try.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what your experience is, because the other way you could do the trees is just, you know, tack one giant piece of fabric into a right, stretcher bar and then,
right,
and then do four of them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I thought about that.
Yeah.
But now I have to be careful. Now I got my three projects and now I'm adding a fourth one. What am I doing? Stop me. Somebody
true.
Stop me.
I know. No, I like hoops. I think it's just a holdover from, it's, you know, maybe the one thing I have left of my childhood stitching, because I moved into, you know, machine stitching, and that's how I spent most of my life, was doing machine stitching and costume design and things of that nature. So the one holdover I have is just this memory of stitching by hand in plastic hoops, because that's what we had.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here stitching in a plastic hoop, and it's absolutely phenomenal for keeping the fabric tight. It's better than the wooden ones that I've been using. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So there you go.
I have yet another thing to experiment with. So, okay, we got to wrap this up, but I do want to put a plug in for Arlene Cohen, her most recent video. She just put it up Floss Tube video. Just put it up a couple, 3 days ago. you got, I mean, it's, I just enjoy the way she presents stuff. And she, it's kind of a, she says a stash parade, but I just like the way she gives background and tells the stories. I just enjoy that. But at the end, she has a whole segment on Bob and Lace. And you got to watch that because there's this one Miss Somebody's Mat or something like, I forget what it is. It's this massive Bob and Lace thing. If I remember correctly, to do it takes 500 bobbins, 250 pairs. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's gorgeous. And apparently this chart is hard to come by. It's been around forever, and it's hard to come by. And she got lucky and got one off of eBay. And she says in the video, I'm not selling it. But it's big, and it's impressive. But I can't even imagine keeping that many bobbins straight. You know, I don't even know what you do. But it's worth it just to see that piece and hear her talk about it. And
what's the size of the finished piece?
Oh, geez, I want to say 30 inches oval, 30
That's
inches
gigantic.
Long. Gigantic lace thing. And it's not simple. You know, it's not just this straight, simple lace. It's all kinds of designs and stuff. Yeah, just based on the video, I bet you it's the better part of 30 inches long oval. It's amazing.
That's massive.
Yeah, it's amazing, amazing. She says she's going to stitch it in her lifetime. She's going to get it stitched. So, but the whole, I enjoyed the video, but it's all worth it just to get, just to see that thing toward the end, the last 15 minutes. It's worth every bit of it just to see that. So, yeah, so go to Arlene, well, Arlene Cohen.
To check it out after this.
Yep. On the Floss Tube there on YouTube. Yep. Which reminds me, all of our podcasts anymore are on Floss Tube too. You feel free to subscribe.
Yes, they are.
Yep, they are.
Yes, yep. They are.
Okay, here's how to win the cards, and then we're out of here. So you had those three things that I'm working on, Elizabethan Treasures, Sarah Parr 1825, and Anasazi Song. So you got to go to the page for this podcast. Now, it has to be the page for this podcast, this midweek show, and all you got to do is put those in there, and I'll have your email address, or if you're new to the site, haven't signed up, then you'll have to fill it out. But and then just got to list those to get in the drawing. You got to list all three of them in the comment section on the website. Yes, we're making you listen to the entire podcast and go to our website to build up traffic. You're right. That's exactly what we're doing. Not going to hide it. And then you got to do it before midnight Eastern time Saturday. So December 2nd. So this is a short run. December 2nd. Midnight Eastern time, you got to be in. And then I'll do a drawing Sunday, just a random drawing Sunday, and post up who wins. So each person will win a package of the Hands Across the Sea cards. And so that's what you do. So all three of those got to be listed in the comments. And if your comment, if you hit submit and it doesn't show up, don't freak out. Because if you're new to the site, I have to approve you. That's a spam check thing, because there are a ton of people who just seem to want to fill up comment sections with garbage all the time. So
right,
they all have to get approved. So if you've never been on the site, you just listen through your podcast app. You're not going to show up till I approve you. I try to do them as quickly as possible, but don't freak out. Everything's time stamped, so you'll be fine. The way I do it is as people submit, I make a list in an Excel spreadsheet, and that gives everybody a number, and then I just go to a random number thing, and whoever it is comes up. So don't freak out if yours doesn't show up. It'll show up when I approve it. Not a big deal. So those three things, it has to be in the comment section for this midweek show. You can't do it on any others because I won't see them.
So WeTalkFiber.com.
Right. WeTalkFiber.com and this week one. And you know, and while you're there, put your name and address down and be on the list, and then you'll get an email every time we post something on the site. And so no harm in that. We don't sell the list to anybody. We just keep it internally, so you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to get spammed to death by somebody. Not happening. I hate it. You hate it. We're not doing
it. Yeah.
So, okay, that's it for the midweek show. That's how you win some cards. Sunday, Elizabeth Bozovich from Needlepoint Now joins us. Had a great conversation with her. So learning, we just kind of hit everything, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we did. So, including her dogs. So, yeah, it was a whole thing. Yes.
That is true.
Yep. So Elizabeth is Sunday, and then we'll be back next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.
Take care.